8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You're live on the
sound
air.
Oh, we're live now. We're not live. It's
who has a potato chip? I'm hungry.
You're live across the stratosphere.
Okay, are we ready to get started? Hey, everybody. We are in Nevada right now. Lake Tahoe, actually, yes.
So you're on the phone, aren't you? You're not in the studio. You're somewhere else. You're on the phone.
Yes, we are doing a phone
mobile deposit.
Hey, it is a mobile deposit. We're depositing revelations via mobile.
Yes, we are.
But, yes, Kat and I are in Nevada right now, having a little mini vacation on Lake Tahoe.
It's a vacay and a free stay.
Yes.
That is the best ever.
It's absolutely gorgeous here. A little bit chilly for us Floridians, but it's okay. But we decided to do a podcast because it's been a long time. I don't even remember what number we're on, so this is either podcast 30.
You're freestyling.
I don't know, but
it's going to be
good. We'll say what number it is in the title when we post it. So I thought we could talk about what we did this weekend in Reno.
Very powerful.
We had some awesome meetings.
I might even talk a little bit about before that in Los Angeles.
You were in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I did like 14 hours of meetings in Los Angeles. Was home about a day and a half. And then took off for Reno, Nevada.
Yes.
And very, very powerful meetings right now. A lot going on. And we did some things we have never done before. Really, we talked about principalities and powers, mm-hmm. and we talked about the third day in hell.
Yes.
We did talk about the movie that we will be a part of now, coming up, The Resurrection of Jesus Christ, and some of the scenes that will be happening in the movie that have never happened before. Really exciting things. And we'll have some more news for you about that a little later. As soon as I sign some papers, we can tell you some more about it, but it's going to be powerful. So.
And you also shared a new revelation on the boundaries that God set.
Yes. We shared some new boundaries. It's called Beyond the Bones.
Yes.
You know, Beyond the Boundaries. And it was revelation. The Father walked in my room a couple weeks ago, began to give me two brand new revelations. One was about the boundaries he set for the earth itself when he made it, which actually verify that we have the right to tell the hurricanes and the storms that they would not come ashore. And we actually did that when Dorian, the storm that drove the meteorologist crazy because it would never come ashore, not all the way up the coast of Florida, not all the way up the entire eastern coast. And they kept saying it would bring death and destruction, you know, horrible storm surge, flooding.
Yeah. It's supposed to go up the middle of
and
the
yeah. We had about 4,000 other believers, weather warriors, woohoo, you weather warriors, and we all stayed together this whole time declaring and decreeing about what it would not do. And the one thing we kept saying to the storm was, you will not come ashore. You have no right to come on the land. God created the weather to be something that would nourish the earth and be a blessing for the earth, and we're not going to tolerate you coming ashore. And it never could. It was like a spiritual wall was built, wasn't it, Jen?
Yeah.
We even have actually pictures and some video of all that happening, which is crazy. One of the greatest weather warrior events we've had.
Yeah, and then the crazy, even crazier than that, was each storm that came after Dorian was pushed even further out away from the coast of Florida. There was Dorian, and then there was Umberto, and then there was Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that was,
I don't remember.
Lorenzo. No.
Every one of them.
Karen. I know, there was like, and none of them, they just
come ashore.
Each one was a little further out.
Went further out into the Atlantic Ocean, away from the coastline, no matter where it went up the East Coast. coast. It could never, they never came ashore, not a single one of them.
Yeah.
And the weathermen are just so freaked out. They don't even want to really forecast what's happening with the storms now, because it's gone beyond their cone of indecision, which is what they called it when they didn't know where it was going. They don't even want to say where it's going to go, because nothing is happening that is normal. These are not normal times. And so this was about a week or so after all this was happening, and I was just talking to myself about how amazing it was that Body of Christ coming together, and we were telling that a storm but couldn't come ashore. The Father, yes, I mean God, walked through the wall of my office and said to me, it is not a surprise to me that the storms could not come ashore, because all you did was validate what I had said to the water, to the ocean. He said, when I made the earth and I put the ocean on it, I told the ocean I was setting boundaries for it, and it could never come ashore, it couldn't come beyond the land to bring destruction. And he actually said that to the storm, to the ocean.
Yes.
Because he didn't create it for that purpose. But the enemy, which I keep telling people, the devil, keeps getting involved in these storms, and they drive them ashore because he's all about kill, destroy,
yep.
steal, kill. And destroy.
Yep.
And because we have power over him, we have the right to say, this is still the Father talking to me, we have the right to tell the storm it cannot come in land and do destruction. He said, so all you did was validate the very thing I said when I created it. And since you have authority to be over the weather, that's why it could not come ashore. I was so excited. So I taught that when I was in, where was it? Where was that? Was that Reno? Or I think it was Los Angeles first.
Yeah, I think he did Los Angeles first.
Because I did a whole Weather Warrior thing while I was there, too. We did. I did 14 hours for them. That was crazy.
And then you shared it in Reno.
And then I shared it again in Reno. I shared a little bit about the second revelation, which is about being a creator.
Yeah.
But no one has gotten that fully yet, but they will. So it's exciting for everyone listening. The Father just confirmed to us that we definitely have the right to tell the storms. They're not going to bring destruction. They cannot come ashore and flood and tear down things, destroy things. It doesn't have the right to do that. So don't you ever forget, if you have one near you, you better start speaking to those storms, saying that they're going to be downgraded, you're not going to tolerate them being there. They have not got any right to do destruction.
That's right.
Right.
And if any of you out there want to listen to her Reno meetings, they were streamed live, and I posted them on Kat's Facebook page. So you can go to her public Facebook page and watch the live streaming of each of her meetings this past weekend.
I also did a host initiative meeting, also in Reno. I did a host initiative and actually showed pictures of the Army of Heaven while I was speaking. And some people there, we always have new people come to the meeting. Some of those people were so undone, I didn't even know if they were breathing, because I showed the, you know, one of the commanders of the host, the inspector of the Army sent from heaven. I sent Scout, who goes behind enemy lines, and
Piper.
And Piper, who is the one who inspects the troops.
Yeah.
And then I showed Excalibur, who is the guardian host over New York. And so they actually saw these with their eyes, a lot of them for the first time. It really does something to you when God can confirm through images that he made. We didn't make these up. And so a lot of people for the first time invited the Heaven's Army to be their weapon. And then they all sent those armies places. It was very powerful when it happened.
It was. It was.
So those were two very strategic things I talked about what happened all through the Bible. Every time the enemy went beyond the bounds that was set for him, the first time was Lucifer in heaven when he decided to take over. That is not his. That was not the form of position God gave him. He left that. You all know what happened. He was kicked out of heaven, like forever, never able to repent for any of that. You all know all he gets now is a fiery lakeside property. So that's what his end is going to be. And so you're going to hear very focused messages, a lot of them out there right now.
That's awesome. And what do we got coming up?
We have coming up Wisconsin.
Nina, Wisconsin.
Nina, Wisconsin will be first. And then we'll be going to Nashville, Tennessee with Jeff Jansen.
But before that, we have our Wonder Women.
Oh, and I'm not going to forget the be Neenah, Wisconsin. Yeah. And then November, of course, 7th, 8th, and 9th is our Wonder Women event. You rock, women! Make sure you sign up. You can go on our events page at revealingheaven.com and sign up for that event, that encounter. And we have some special people coming. They're going to teach some powerful workshops that you don't want to miss.
we're new products. Yes, I was just going to say that we're releasing new products. Chris, our podcast producer, is also working on... he's working on the design for the Wonder Women t-shirt.
Yes, the t-shirts, you all have been asking for them now the last 2 years, so it's going to be amazing. We will have them available. We'll have, some tote bags. Awesome, amazing tote bags available, you Wonder Women.
Yeah.
And also, that little gag you put on the back of your cell phone.
A pop socket.
A pop socket, yes. And so we're going to have some new products. And, we know women love to shop. We know you men
too. Oh, and also, any women that come, we will also have the Dread Champions t-shirts that we released at the Dread Champions conference last month.
Yeah, we have some of those left.
So you guys can get some for your husbands or your brothers or your boyfriends or, your dad, whatever. Make awesome Christmas presents.
Yes.
So we're excited about
your Wonder Women.
Yeah, and we have doing some my tongue just got tangled. We're doing some awesome workshops again this year. The prophetic art workshop by Chris and Kat's daughter Kim.
Yeah. Save that, but I guess we're not saving it now. Just let it go.
She's coming, and
she's
doing 2 dance workshops.
Yes, and she is a professional person who has danced for over 20 years.
Yeah,
she's danced with companies. She's been sought after by major companies. She was on So You Think You Could Dance, just so she could testify about how powerful God is in her life. And not only that, my daughters have done dance intercession. They've raised people from the dead, seriously, when they were dancing. They're a threat to the enemy. And so if you come, women, you need to sign up for those dance workshops. She's going to have 2. One of them is basic, if you don't know anything about it. It is for warfare, for intercession, and for worship. And she'll have 2 hours each day to do that, a Friday and a Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then...
The second one is for more advanced.
A little bit more advanced. She'll be teaching you something to present in the during the worship time in the meetings.
And then, of course, I have my photography workshop.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about that.
We're going to set up a photo op for everybody. We're not sure what that's going to look like yet, but we will have a photo op somewhere set up. Either during registration or in between the meetings, that you can all come out and get some good pictures taken.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to that. Women, make sure you go to revealingheaven.com to register.
And we will be sending our joint armies out across the world again like we did last year. That was very powerful. Dangerous against hell.
So come hungry and excited and prepare to have lots of fun.
And again, that is November 7th, 8th, and 9th. It is a free event
in Jacksonville, Florida,
but you must register for that.
Yes. And anything else that you want to share?
Some Q&A.
Yeah. While we were in Reno, I recorded 3 questions, and Chris is going to play the first one, and then you can answer it.
Okay, this is where the technical side of it comes in. Okay, ready. So I'm going to press play. This is the professional keyboard sound you can hear. Okay, here it goes. Ready?
Yes. Perfect.
Hello. My name is Laurel from Chandler, Arizona. My question is, when we are born again, do we still need to be healed of generational curses? If so, how do we do that?
Did you guys hear that? Okay.
Yeah, I will repeat the question. Her name was Laurel, and she had a question that when we're born again, Does that mean we still have to deal with any generational curses that are attached to us? You know, should probably came down to great grandparents, uncles, aunts, whatever. Some people, I'm sure, don't know what a generational curse is. That is when the enemy gets involved in a family line, not just with one person, and will try to pass on that same thing. Like that same spirit will pursue others coming after your generational line to see if you be involved with that. I would say that would probably depend. If it is something that you were involved in yourself, like immediately yourself, like I wouldn't even call that a generational curse. So if you were involved with witchcraft, let's say, or if you were involved in demon worship or in some kind of addiction or something, when you're born again, at that moment, that's all wiped out of you. If this is something outside of your own decision to be born again, if in your family line, especially if there's any, I'm trying to remember the name of that group.
The Masons.
Oh, if any of the Masons are in your family line, you definitely need to break that off of you. That spirit will just go for generations along, and it brings great sickness, disease, control over your life. So I would encourage anybody, if you have the Masons, in your family line, if you have any rings, Masonic rings, or any women from the Eastern Star, if you have those emblems with you, destroy them, get rid of them, do not keep them with you in any way. And then you have to say, I choose as an act of my will to break every curse of the Masonic or addictions or witchcraft. I break those curses off of me. No matter how far back in my line they go, I'm ending it right now in Jesus' name. And I will have no relationship with it in any way whatsoever. And then at that point, you have broken that curse that was over your family line. Most things that people are experiencing or involved in at the very moment that they get born again the first time, though, is so powerful, it will just wipe everything out. But that's up to you. You make that decision. If you think that's something that's hanging on, you just have to choose with your will to end it. Okay, the next question.
Question two.
My name is Dora from Astoria, Arizona, and my question is related to Matthew 9:35-38, that says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Then on 38 it says, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. Could this be referring to angels, or is God going to perform a wonder to reach the harvest through the few that are chosen?
Okay, her name was, I think it said Donna.
I think so.
Donna, Dana, and I think she's from California, but she was at the meetings there in Reno, and she wanted to know, in the word where it talks about, you know, the fields are white with harvest, but you know that the harvesters are few, but we also do know the angels are called the harvesters. We will go share messages. We can plant seeds for people, you know, to be born again. But the word actually does say the angels are the harvesters. And so she wanted to know, when that time comes for the great harvest to come in, will that be us, you know, the body of Christ being involved? Do we get to help harvest them? Or according to the word, is it the angels that will harvest them? Or will God do something sovereign himself to cause that harvest to happen? And I have to say, I think I know that the body of Christ plays a major part. Anytime winning the lost, it is not up to us, however, to force them to be born again. We can't make anyone do that. We plant seeds. The Holy Spirit draws people to Christ. But I think if she's talked about the great harvest, is different than
excuse me, what's going on over there in Reno?
You're having the great harvest is different than just general evangelizing.
You guys laughing.
We're in a very dry place. Not spiritually.
Praise the Lord.
We just came out of the
fountain.
Desert in California, the desert in Nevada. And we have found that if we talk for very long, we have to have drinks. So I just have a little sip of something. Okay. I'm going to go back to what I was saying, okay?
Okay.
So there's a difference in the great harvest. There'll be a point where probably millions of people will be harvested in just a very short amount of time. And in that moment, in that time, I do believe that it is the angels who will bring that harvest in. And that will also be something sovereign that God does. That is the great harvest. Right now, living our lives, and throughout our lives, we have opportunities to seed the Word of God or share about salvation to people. And that, at that point, we do have a greater part in at least harvesting, to some extent, some lives. However, Holy Spirit is very much involved. Every time we share, He will then continue to speak to the people after we leave them. And if they do choose to receive Christ and we get to pray with them, that prayer of salvation, that they can make that commitment to Jesus Christ as their Savior, we do have more of a part in harvesting those type of souls. But the great harvest is a whole different time than now. It's for several generations away. And I really do believe that what the Word says, that the angels will bring in the harvest. It is going to be that mass harvest. So I hope that helped you. So the Father does play a part. Jesus plays a part. Holy Spirit does, but we aren't ever going to get out of not speaking to people about Jesus Christ in this world. Okay, last question.
All right.
Oh, two more, okay.
Number three for the podcast community.
My name is Ramona. I'm from Sparks, Nevada. And my question is a question my husband had with regard to what happens to people who, in passing, see the white light and then at some point decide to come back or are given the choice to come back to Earth to finish something that they may have to do.
She kind of talked to me
a little bit more after that. Okay. He wanted to know what happens to the people when they see the great light.
That woman's husband, right?
Yeah, and what is the great, what is the light that they talk about,
yes,
that they see sometimes, and what was
back.
The purpose of the light that they saw, and then they were, why were they sent back, and, you know.
Well, I can't always answer why they're sent back. Of course, obviously, He's not done with them. And some people in passing, whether it's from, sickness, an accident, all types of reasons why people will begin, their spirit man begins to leave their body is the first thing that begins to happen. And the light they see is actually the transport coming from heaven to pick them up. I've been present myself when people were picked up by heaven, and either in chariots, in different types of transports, but the light will be the first thing these people see. And when they're seeing it, it's more in their spiritual body, which is about to leave the physical body. They then are able to see the spirit realm. And it's always a transport that's coming to pick them up. And for whatever reason, either people are praying for them and saying, can they remain longer if they're present and their family member's passing? And they ask God, you know, to have mercy, or can they stay a while longer? He will make that transport leave. If it's His choice, because once somebody's spirit starts leaving their body as they're dying, the transport's going to come anyway. Then either the Lord or the Father will say, tell the ones in the transport coming to pick up that person to come back, that they have to remain, that He's not done with them. And so there's different, that could have a lot of different things involved with the situation, but every time the light that they're seeing is coming from the transport that's coming to pick them up. I know when Jesse Duplantis was caught up in his physical body, he saw a bright light. He actually was picked up at the in the bottom of this transport. They look sort of like really supernatural sci-fi cable cars, like the kind that take you up the sides of mountains. They're kind of shaped like that, but they have these bright, brilliant lights through the universe and down to the spirit realm. The first thing someone will notice is that light. And so, and then it opens up and catches you up in the bottom, unless you're caught up by a chariot. But it also has light. That light will probably be like fire coming off of it.
Yeah. And I think Chris had a question he's going to read to you from someone on the cruise.
Yeah, after the cruise, Elaine Demblin, She Facebook messaged me a couple of times, and it's like a three-part question. It's to do with the host, but I'm not very good at reading off the screen, so I'll just do my best British accent. Other than okay, so she's talking about the host. She said she was woke up at 1:45, and there was clouds whirling above her house, and she says, Other than thanking them on their return, is there another conversation we are supposed to have? A status report or something? I don't know. So, do you see what I mean? She's asking if there's more of a conversation with the host that you've sent. Is there more of a conversation than go here, do this?
Is there is there more of a conversation outside of commanding them?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I actually have them myself. I thank them. I thank them a lot. And I also do cheers to encourage them.
Yeah, which, and I say hi to them.
Yeah, I will go outside sometimes and I'll just say, hi, guys, thanks. You know, thanks so much You're doing a great job, an awesome job. But then I'll just go outside sometimes and I will say my cheer that I asked permission from God if I could give them a cheer. And he said, well, yes, the people in the natural world, just our world, we say things to cheer our military on. We thank our military that's not worshiping them. And I made up this little cheer, and it's the host are the most, they make our enemy toast. Because a lot of the activity they have when they war against the army of darkness, they will be burned by the fire of God, the lightning power of God, is some of the weapons that the host use. So that's why I made up that little cheer. And they actually do singe and sometimes incinerate parts of the army of darkness or burn them with that fire. And so I asked God, I said, would it be okay to let me make a cheer to encourage them? He said, absolutely yes. And so I do. I go outside and said, you're the host with the most. You make our enemy toast. Woohoo! Woohoo! And we say woohoo because when they leave for every battle in the spiritual darkness, they will yell woohoo on the way to fight.
It's like their war cry.
It's their war cry because they're going to enjoy it.
Yes.
Because they will always win. So yes, it's okay just to say thank you, look up in the sky, and we have to say thank you. I really appreciate all you're doing. I'm commissioned from the Father. And I am grateful. So that's okay to say that, or just say hello and wave. They will always see you, even if you don't see them.
And every now and then, you may actually hear them say something back, because I have heard them. I always get up in the morning, and before I leave, I will send them to go before me and tread the enemy and go in traffic and tell them to do traffic control. And
you'll never have an accident.
So I did my normal thing of sending them, and then like a few seconds later, I hear, is that all you got? And I went, okay.
They wanted another assignment.
So then I sent them into all the schools in Jacksonville, do a sweep of the schools, and then all the schools in the state of Florida.
To prevent violence.
To prevent any violence, to uncover anything that's wrong and expose the darkness So yeah. So if you don't keep them busy, you will eventually hear them say something to you.
Yes. Yeah, I try to keep a list, or I make a list, especially like when I'm finally going to bed, I'll send them like to four or five different countries to do things, or maybe a sweep over the whole North American continent. And I ask them to pull down the spiritual strongholds, but I also ask them to expose the wicked humans that are being used by Satan and to expose them so they can be caught. You can also say that.
Yep.
So this
other questions?
Well, yeah, this got to the second part of the question, and it's something that happened to me today stirred me to ask a question, but I'll ask it afterwards because it's kind of connected. But it's so the second part of this question is, how do you know which company has returned? So I sent like 6 or 7 missions out on Wednesday and 2 on Tuesday and another 2 on Friday. How do we know to keep track of those who are still out and who's have come back? So she's kind of asking like, project management questions. You know, how do you know if, like, you know, how do you know who's doing what, where, and all that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you know, because you have to understand that when your army from heaven, when the group that you were commanding, when the troops you are commanding are sent on assignment, they will all go, unless you say I'm sending half here and half there, they're all going to go together. But it literally takes a minute in the spirit realm to go where they're going, deal with the enemy, and come back. So you could send them four or five places in a row, you know, and they're going to go deal with all of it and come right back. So that's why you have to make sure you don't let them get bored. The other thing is this. I have so many. I do actually break mine up into groups. If you know how many you have, if you started with 100 and you sent them on a continual basis, before the end of the year, you will have 10,000 to command, and then you can say, I'm sending 5,000 to this place and 5,000 to this other place, and they will go like you commanded them to go, but they will come back at the same time. All of them will come back about the same time, so you can actually literally send them all day and all night if you want to. Like, I'll send a part of mine. I'll say how many is going to go to Korea, because God is still working with North Korea to become a part of South Korea. I'll send them to protect the president the entire day long, and then send another group all night long to watch over and protect him and keep him. I'll send them in groups of like maybe a million, you know, because I have a lot. I'll send a million of them to go across the entire state of Florida, Georgia, and then South Carolina, North Carolina, to expose any witchcraft being operated in, you know, pull down the spirits of witchcraft, and then I'll send them to pull down any strongholds of drugs, which means expose the gangs that are actually selling the drugs. You can be very specific when you send them, but unless you know how many you have, you can always say, I'm sending half to this place and half to that place. But they'll be done about the same time, and they'll come back together.
Okay.
That's about the only way I can answer that, is if you knew how many that you had. So if you've been doing this for at least a year, you have a minimum of 10,000 with you, probably more than that. So if you want to be strategic, I'll tip, you can even write it down in a journal. I'm probably going to create a journal that says Journal of the Host, and I want people to begin to write down where you send them, especially if it's against something specific, yeah, and write the date. Some of these things you will see happening on the news. Mm-hmm. Literally, I'll send them against wicked armies, the ISIS, and then a week so or later, they'll find the ISIS abandoning all their weapons in the desert, and it'll be on the news. I will write that down. So if you want to be that strategic, it's called the Host Initiative, and that way you keep track of where you send them. And then later, it's almost like what Kim Clement used to do. He prophesied something and put it in his vault, and then several years later, if it came to pass, he'd take it out of the vault and show everybody where it happened. Now, you don't necessarily have to do that, but I think if you are going to be that focused about sending them, it's a good thing to just get you a journal and write down, I sent a host, you know, Tuesday, October, whatever, whatever, and I sent them to this place about that, and this place about that, and then you either hear changes in cities and states, or even over countries of things happening, and it will inspire you to keep doing it.
Okay. So I guess my little follow-up kind of question thing was, I don't know if you guys know this, but in Mayport, Jacksonville, up by the beach, there is the biggest naval airline carrier is in dock there. So there's loads of British people floating around. And of course, I recognize them by their white legs and their little shorts as they're all walking around. But it just made me think, because we're talking about this, is because they're quite distinctive and different, you know, the mannerisms of British people or whatever. So I guess my question is this. When it comes to armies of heaven, fighting angels and things like that, like if you are, say, for example, you know, you're Italian, right? Would the host over your life that fight for you, would they look like, you know, some Italian soldier type thing? Does that ever happen, that kind of connection to an individual person? Or are they, like the British people coming here, right, so they look different to the American army, but they're still doing, like, war. Is there, like, a difference to the different armies over different people's lives? Do you know
what
I mean?
Are you talking about the armies of heaven?
Yeah.
The armies of heaven similar?
Yeah. I mean, do they match you as a person culturally, or are they just a completely different league of their own kind of thing?
I don't think any of mine match me in any way whatsoever, because most of the hosts don't look like normal angels. They look like creatures. So I don't think, as far as the army,
where's your guardian? Could you? I remember you saying about
one sent by Gabriel. If one is sent by Gabriel,
guardian angels,
not necessarily the army, aren't guardian angels. I know you think it, but they're not. The guardian angels sent to those people would look very similar to their ethnic group or what they're doing. I literally have seen like naval people in the Navy. I've seen their own guardian angels dressed and look like their naval officers. So that part, under Gabriel, that would happen.
Okay.
But they couldn't ever, the army can't match humans because of creatures.
Or they can't really adapt to the, because guardian angels will adapt to your lifestyle as you're growing up.
Right.
And they tend to like the same things you like.
Same colors.
Sometimes they'll even dress similar to the way you, and I've heard many testimonies from people who have seen their guardian angel, and they were either dressed like them, or they were doing the same mannerism that they do.
So that would be the one sent under Gabriel. And those almost all look like a human, but you're right about the dress and the mannerisms and stuff, as far as guardian angels. And even you could get other guardians assigned to you for a season of your life, depending on what you're doing yourself, even in your regular job or in the military. You can get other guardian angels sent, and when that season is over, your own never leave. But the one sent under Michael would definitely could be dressed and look very similar, actually sometimes look like you. But the army itself is always going to look like creatures. Yeah, creatures, yeah.
Okay, I just thought I'd ask that because they're in town up the road. So.
Yeah, well, I bet a lot of the guardians that are with them look like the British Navy.
Yeah. With the white legs and the shorts.
So that's our special angels with no suntan.
Yeah. And yes, they will actually talk like them too. So they're quite characters. The guardians are very big characters.
Okay. Well, that's I guess the only thing. She added a little thing onto that question. She said, do we have to keep sending them on the assignment? If so, why? And when do we stop?
That also depends on where you're sending them. If you, let's for instance say, you're a parent and you have an army and your kid is in college, you would send them to that college at least once a week, because new people come in and out of the college, new professors, other people, if they bring demonic with them, then yes, you cannot send them to the college and they're going to automatically just make a big, a fort around the college. That doesn't happen. If you're sending them for a situation, let's say they find out there's gunmen downtown in your city and they're trying to attack people, that would be a one-time. You would send them right then to deal with the demonic involved in that whole shooting or a violent act or whatever. They would deal with it, they would expose the people involved in it, and they would leave, so you wouldn't send them again there. But you're sending them to a place, like I just said, if you know somebody who works in a hospital, or a family member works in a hospital, you would send them there all the time. There's always sickness, disease, and death. You can send the army there to put on strongholds of death and sickness and disease in the hospital where they're working, but you would do it all the time because more of them are coming. So that would totally involve...
And government, things are constantly changing.
Changing the government, and if there's laws being made, and your mayor of your city is not a believer, and they allow a lot of other things that are dark happening in that city, and the laws are trying to put out there or enforce, you would send them to that place at least once a week, because people come and go, they bring other things with them. Let's just say, for instance, you're going to Disney World. I'd never go there without sending my army to pull down every spirit of witchcraft, plan planned acts of violence or anything like that. I send my army every time before I go there because I know there's going to be the activity there. But because I live in Florida, I actually send them, even though I'm not there on a regular basis, to put down strongholds of witchcraft, of violence, of control. So in a place like that, you'd have to send them more than once because there's ongoing new people, things happening, activities happening. But if it's about a certain situation that's going on, you would send them once for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep, that's... Oh. So that was Elaine from the cruise. She'll be very happy. She loves the podcast, and she really thought about that. And she has a group. The reason she got these questions is because she has a group, and they get together and they teach them about it, and they send hosts out together. So they're doing like a whole group thing about it. So I'm sure they'll be really excited about you answering those.
They are practicing the host initiative, which is sending them on a strategic with strategic plans. That's very, very good.
Yep, that's all part of heaven culture. So, do you have time for one more? It's just kind of a fun question. Someone posted it on one of your videos. I don't know what video it is, but I screenshot it. Yes, one of your videos on your Facebook page. And I just thought, you may have answered this before, but... And she didn't say where she was from, but it was a comment on Facebook. So, Diane, if you're listening, I'm going to read your question. And she wants to know, are there Pegasus in heaven?
Are there Pegasus in heaven?
Yes.
Well, people don't know what is Pegasus. A Pegasus is like a winged horse. They don't have a horn like a unicorn.
Yes.
So that's different. Of course they are. Many of the horses will fly in heaven. And so if you want to say specifically Pegasus, of course there are flying horses there. There are also unicorns, though.
Yes.
And that is a flying horse that has the horn, you know, in the middle of its forehead. The father has one that's his own. And so, yes, when you move to heaven, you could probably have a whole ranch full of the Pegasus horses, and people would come to go flying on the horses. Okay. It is a place that is supernatural, filled with wonder. Wonder is an awesome word because it really makes you understand. There'll be things that will shock you, delight you, and bless you when you go to heaven, things you never expected. There are even flowers that you can grab the stem on, and they will fly you across heaven by their petals. Being a propeller. So if they can have that.
Copter flowers.
Yes, copter flowers is what we call them. They do have them in heaven, but definitely the flying horse is something that you're going to see there.
Yay. I think for our next podcast, we should just do a whole thing on, I mean, you haven't really talked about just heaven in a while.
Yeah.
And we had talked about that before, about covering an area of heaven and just talking about what it's like in that area. I think that would be fun for the listeners. And so if you guys agree with that, you know, jot us a comment down in the comment section on the podcast. If you would like to hear more specifically just about places in heaven, and we might consider doing that for the next podcast.
Yeah.
So, Chris, do you have any more questions or anything?
Yeah, I just, well...
Anything, any
do you know what producer? I think we should do one day on the podcast is that we should have
what?
People on the telephone asking a few questions, like we could give them a call. And
we did that once before, yeah, but we haven't done that in a while either.
Yeah, that'd be
have
kinda...
some live, yeah, live phone in Q&A.
We would question. Need 2 hours.
Yeah, we would. That might be a really long podcast.
Well, we just
find it very interesting.
Hand pick a couple of people and just give them a call.
That's true. We could do that. We could just pick like maybe 3 or 4.
Yeah,
and,
we could just make it up. Make it up as we go along and fly by the seat of our pants.
Spontaneous Q&A.
Yeah.
A spontaneous Q&A. I like that.
All right.
Yep.
I had 2 of those in California, and I did have one in Reno, and they were some of the most exciting meetings that we had.
Yeah, we had some really, we only had like 5 people at a time come up and ask a question, and she answered it, and they were really good.
in Los Angeles. They lined up down the wall.
All right.
But that could be somewhere out there. I don't know if it's going to be on my public Facebook page or if it's something we will be using.
Your Los Angeles thing?
Yeah.
I will have to check and see because I know sometimes they do put them up later on their website.
I know we got a flash drive or MP3 given to us at the end of all those meetings. I literally did, it was supposed to be four on Friday, four meetings on Saturday, and like one and a half
on Sunday. Yeah.
And several of those meetings did turn out to be Q&A sessions, and they asked some really good, unusual questions.
Okay, awesome.
So I think that's a good idea, Chris. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Yep.
How about we just go to the phone book and ring up someone randomly from across the world?
I don't mind doing that either. I don't mind. I've got pastors' numbers. We could do that too.
A random citizen. Would you like to be on a podcast?
Yeah, let's just see what happens. That'd be quite fun. Anyway.
We're calling you right now. You are on the podcast. What would you like to ask?
Yeah.
All right, well, I think if that's it, we're going to call it a wrap. And
well, if you're going to call it a wrap, you have to wrap, Jen.
Oh, no. I'm not the wrapping person.
Okay, then. So I will turn off.
Do you want to say anything before we go?
I just will say I will see you all later.
No, you'll hear. No, you won't hear. They'll hear you later. They won't see you.
Unless we do a video Q&A.
I don't know how we'll do that one, but we'll work on it.
We'll think about it. We'll see you later. May the host go with you.
Yes.
May you be dangerous against hell.
And here comes the funky music.
Bye.